Parshas Vayera. So even though we did have a Chumash this week on Parshas Vayera, we had a Chumash last year on Parshas Vayera, there's still more to talk about on Parshas Vayera. A lot to talk about, a lot to discuss, a lot of messages. I think there's a there's a famous Malbim that everyone talks about. It's worth mentioning. Reb Shlomo Vilna and his Cheshek Shlomo in the back of the Yerdea quotes it as well. That the question is that Avraham Avinu served the Malachim Basa B'chalav. It says in the Pasuk, he served them Chema V'chalav Ben Abakar. So there's a famous Malbim. The Malbim was, interestingly enough, known for his commentary on Chumash. The Malbim was really a massive Pesach. He was in the middle of working on a major project on Shulchan Aruch. He was in the middle of writing a Sefer. I think he was in the middle of Hilchos Tzitzis, and he went to the Chassam Sefer for Shabbos to get Haskama from the Chassam Sefer. And what happened was, during Shal Shittah's time, when the lights were off, he accidentally sat in the Chassam Sefer seat. And when the lights went on, he saw, lo and behold, he was in the Chassam Sefer seat. And he was so embarrassed, he was so disturbed over this, he took this as a message that he's not supposed to be considering, continue pursuing a halachic career, he should switch over and write on Chumash. And that's what we have today. We have the Malbim predominantly on Chumash, not so much on halacha. But there's a famous verse from the Malbim where he writes that the meat that Avraham Avinu served the Yavot, the Malachim, was made through something called Sefer Yetzirah. The Gemara tells us in Sanhedrin that the Amoraim, instead of going shopping on Friday, they would sit down and using Sefer Yetzirah, which Rashi says was certain mitzar of certain oisius, they were able to make animals and make meat, and they were able to eat it. So Avraham Avinu used Sefer Yetzirah, and Sefer Yetzirah is not bound by Basa B'chalav. Therefore, Paskes the Shlomo Vilna, in Cheshek Shlomo, it's not a problem because it was made through Sefer Yetzirah. There's a Mechaber in Shulchan Aruch at the end of Yeridei, with the Mechaber Paskins, it's completely 100% mutter to make things with Sefer Yetzirah. It's not considered kishuf, and it's not considered mixing. It's one of the gifts that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us. The Shach, on that Halach in Shulchan Aruch, he makes the comment that we already stopped using it. So you have to figure sometime in the 1600s, later 1600s, mid-1600s, people stopped using it. But up till then, it seemed like a possible option of using things. What I always found troubling about this whole vow was I found once a Ben Yehuda in Sanhedrin. The Ben Yehuda said that things made through Sefer Yetzirah are not the same quality. It's a lacking quality. So then the kash was that Avraham Avinu didn't do things, you know, b'di'evit. He did things on the highest level. So it's hard to believe that Avraham Avinu would serve the Malachim a second quality meat when he could have served them a first quality meat.
And
so,
it says Ratzel Abakar.
Yeah, he went to make it, to get it. I don't know. It's one of these funny, one of these famous Malbims that you have to mention in Parashas Vayera. I don't understand it. The whole thing is funny to me, but they say Avraham Avinu wrote Sefer Yetzirah. So if he wrote it, this is a Gemara Mefurish. This is not my Chiddush. This is the Gemara says in Sanhedrin that Abaya and some people, Agarius of Zera, Rabba, they were taka do this every Friday instead of going shopping. They would just make it themselves. So then it's a lot easier. So then there's shailas about Marisai and other creative shailas that come up. But that's a very famous Malbim. I guess it's worth mentioning again if you haven't heard it yet over Shabbos. But I think one of the important lessons of the Parsha is not from Avraham Avinu, but really from Loit. In this week's parasha, the city of Sodom is destroyed, and despite Avraham Avinu's tireless efforts, no one manages to be saved except for Lot and his family. And Rashi comments, quoting a medrash, what merit did Lot have to be saved? So Rashi says, because of what happened in the last week's parasha. In last week's parasha, when Avraham, Sarah, and Lot were traveling in Mitzrayim, Avraham and Sarah made up this whole story, this Baba Maisa, and Lot knew it's not true, and Lot didn't rat out his family, and because of that, they were saved. So the obvious question is, why is that such a big deal? Let's remember, Avraham Avinu and Lot had a very interesting relationship. They were not just uncle and nephew, he was his Rebbe. It was his Rebbe. His Rebbe Muvak, we'll call it. Right? So why is that such a great claim to fame that you didn't read out your own family, A, family, and secondly, it is your Rebbe. You have a special relationship with him. Why is that the great claim to fame? If we were writing the Medrash, we would have assumed the great claim to fame is this week's Parsha. Last week's parasha, where he was Moshe Nefesh for Chesed, he offered up his two daughters to appease the mob. That would seem to have been a much stronger level of Chesed. So why is that? That's not the Schus, and this was the Schus. So I think that the answer is the Torah is telling us something very important. When Avraham Avinu, when Lot did Chesed, it came to him naturally because he saw it growing up. He grew up in the house of Avraham Avinu. Chesed was second nature to him. But when it came to the Mitzrayim story, the Chassam Sofer points out, and the Sefer Chacham says it also explicitly in the beginning of Parshas Vayera, he says, why was it such a big deal for Lot not to rat out his uncle, his Rebbe? He says, because Lot had all of the world to gain by ratting them out. Why? Because Lot had a very big Taivas HaMamon. Lot loved money. And if Lot would have had Avraham Avinu killed, he would merit to inherit all the money. Light was all about the money. The Sifrei Chacham says the only reason why Light went with Avraham Avinu in Lech Lecha was not because he was a Talmud that was connected to his Rebbe. And that wasn't it. He was following the money chain. He was figuring the money trail is going to be with Avraham Avinu. I'm going to stick with him because he's got no kids and I'll take the money. He was all about the money. So if you're a person who's all about mammonists, and for you to be misgaber on Tavis HaMammon, that's a big deal. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, wow, Light, who loved money so much, and he was willing to give up money, that I think is something valuable. But Chesed, it came to him naturally. It wasn't a big deal. It was easy for him. He saw it growing up. It was no special difference in his life. It didn't go out of his comfort zone. To that, HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't give the same credit. I think it's a stickle scary for many of us because we think there are certain things in life we do, we're like, this is going to be my ticket to Olam Haba. I mastered X and Y. And it could be you mastered it because it just comes naturally easy to you. If you have a person who gets up early in the morning, he can't sleep late. He doesn't know how to. They call them morning people. I've never been zeicher to be one of those people. They don't know how to wake up late. They don't know what to do. 6 o'clock, they got to be up, dressed, and walking around their house. So, of course, you've got to be on time to shachris because you can't stay in bed. You don't know what else to do. You're climbing the walls already. So, yeah, you'll be on time for shachris and you'll make zman kriyashma, and Mestomi makes zman tefillah. You'll do everything right because you don't know what else to do. But for a guy who pasha can't do that, and he's miskaber, and he pushes himself to do it, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's a bigger accomplishment. You know, if a guy grows up in a house where his parents are philanthropists, and they're always giving tzedakah, and every other week there's a parlor meeting in their house for tzedakah. So, of course, the kid's going to grow up to be about tzedakah. So, is it going to be HaKadosh Baruch Hu that this kid, wow, he's about tzedakah? Yeah. It's a big deal, don't get me wrong. But at the end of the day, you saw it growing up, it became second nature. But for a kid to, or for an adult to go out of what we call their comfort zone, to do something which is not necessarily their natural tendency, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's valued much more than following your natural tendency. You know, usually the things that we're good at are the things we like to do. That's usually the way Teva Adam is. And the things that we're not good at, we don't do, or we stay away from. That's why I don't build things in my house, because I'm not good at it, because I don't know what I'm doing, so I stay away from it. If you're good at something, you like to do it. So here, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling us that the things that you're probably not the best at is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to see the most. But then there's another very big Musar Haskel that the Acharonim point out, Rabbi Yisrael Salanter writes it, Rabbi Aaron Kotler, Mishnah Surban writes it, and this is a big insight also in life, that really Loit was not an Ish Chesed. It's not true. It wasn't. Although the Psukim relay a message that Loit was an Ish Chesed, and if you had to pick an example of Chesed with Mesiris Nefesh, Loit would be the guy. It says the Acharonim, Loit is not the guy. He's not. Loit does not get the title Ish Chesed that HaKadosh Baruch Hu would save him in that merit. Why? Says Reb Aaron, an unbelievable Yisoid. Says Reb Aaron, if you're really an Ish Chesed, you don't move to a community that's against Chesed. It doesn't make sense. You're not honest with yourself. Often in life we think we are a certain way and we like to say we are a certain way, but our actions prove that we're just not honest with ourselves. If Loit was talking Ish Chesed, he would not move to a community where the Constitution said Chesed is illegal. Right? My kids' parsha sheets all had the pictures of Stoyim. There was a big sign on the door. No Chesed allowed. Right? That's the way all the signs say. So that's clear what they had to do. If it's on the parsha sheet, it has to be Emes Lamitoy. So we know Stoyim, but this is true. We know Stoyim was anti. It was also Chatzko Levenstein has Yeruchim Lavavit has a piece very relevant to under time of the in the political world. He held that they were anti-immigration also. They were anti-immigration Stoyim, and he tells the reason why they were anti-immigration is because they didn't have emunah. They believed immigrants will come, will take their jobs, they won't have any parnas. So they were anti. He tells that the chesaron in Stoyim was they weren't maminim. They didn't believe. If you believe that Kosh Baruch is going to provide for you, so what are you worried about immigrants? Okay, we'll leave that political debate for a different time. But nonetheless, if Lloyd really loved Chesed, how do you move to a town? How do you move to a community that's all about not doing Chesed? Says Reb Aaron, that was the biggest riot that he doesn't really mean it. He goes through the motions. He acts like Chesed and even offered up his daughter's mitzad Chesed. But you're not an Ish Chesed. You can't say I'm a certain person and your actions show us exactly the opposite. Now, a person can't say I'm a growing Jew and I want to be a better person, but I'm hanging out 99% of the time with people that are going to bring me down. And that we find at the end of the parsha. At the end of the parsha, we find that Avraham Avinu and Sarah had a machloikis of how to raise their children. And Avraham Avinu lost, because Sarah was right, like always, that this was Ma'aseh Avos and Labanim. No one points that out. Ma'aseh Avos and Labanim, the women win the machloikis. I don't know why no one says that. But the whole state of Bereish, this is Ma'aseh Avos and Labanim. I got another one over here. Machloikis, husband and wife, the wife wins. Now, the Sarah's argument was, you think Yitzchak is going to rub off on Yishmael, it's going to be the other way around. Yishmael is going to rub off on Yitzchak. So Lloyd did the same thing. Lloyd moved this time, thinking he's going to become appointed a judge, and he's going to change the constitution. It's not going to happen. You think one guy's going to change an entire society? So the mistake that Lloyd made, Lloyd thought, or he maybe thought, Lishmael maybe even he thought this, but that's not the right attitude. If you claim to live a certain lifestyle, you can't associate with people that are not living that lifestyle. And this is a chum in the beginning of the parasha, is an unbelievable yisoid. Right? Chazal tell us that Avraham Avinu was shoyel leitzel al amila. He asked all his friends, Honor, Eshkol, Mamre. And Mamre was the one who gave him the idea on the meal. So everyone asks, Avraham Avinu didn't need Eitzah. So Sifta Chum said Avraham Avinu had a totally different agenda. He wanted to know who his real friends are. Who's real friends? Is Enor a good friend? Is Eshkol a real friend? Mamre is a real friend. Said this to Chum, you want to know who a good friend is? A good friend is someone who will tell you to do things that will bring you closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. A friend who tells you to do things that take you away from HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not a friend. You might have similar hobbies, you might enjoy spending time with that person, but they're not a friend. A real friend is someone who's going to bring you closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Avraham Avinu was trying to figure out, okay, who's my real friend? So he came out, Mamre is my only friend. Mamre is the only one who told me to keep the will of Hashem. So it's an important lesson in friendship, but it's really an important lesson of realizing who we are. Often in life, we like to pass ourselves off as a certain style. Oh, I'm really that. I'm really this type of a guy, but the way I act and who I interact with is clearly right that I'm not that. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling us that you're not going to get credit for it. You have to be genuine, you have to realize who we really are, and that HaKadosh Baruch Hu values much more. There's a story, it's connected to the parasha, so we'll mention it. In Volozhin Yeshiva, they started having secular subjects, or the government wanted them to have secular subjects. So there was a big meeting amongst all the Gedolim at that time. What should they do? Should they keep the Yeshiva open and have secular subjects, or should they just close the Yeshiva? So it's not clear. I always thought the meeting took place in 1899. Someone told me like yesterday it took place in 1892. So somewhere in the 1890s. Okay, fine. I wasn't there, I can't tell you. Somewhere in the 1890s. So there was a big meeting of all the Rabbanim, and Chofetz Chaim was not invited to this meeting. The Chofetz Chaim was not invited. I'm not sure why, but the Chofetz Chaim was not invited. To us, it sounds so far, and how can you not invite the Chofetz Chaim? Chofetz Chaim was not invited. So the way it works is that the Chofetz Chaim met the Arsamech, Meir Simcha Ben Davinsky, met him on the way, and he asked him, where are you going? He told him, we're going to this big Asif, and he said, well, why am I not invited? He said, because you're from a small town, and you're a small rabbi, so you're not invited. Okay? So the follow-up to that story is they say, if you look at all of Mishnah Berurah, six Chalakim, there's only one place where the Mishnah Berurah ever quotes a contemporary of his, and that's the Meshech Chachma. In Hilchos Shofar, in a Ber Halacha, he quotes from the Meshech Chachma to why we put the Shofar on the right side of our mouth. He quotes some vart from the Meshech Chachma. So they say the reason why he did this was because he didn't want anyone thinking that there was bad blood between him and Rav Meir Simcha, because of that comment from Rav Meir Simcha. So therefore he put him in. According to the most, they say that's a glorified Baba Maisa because he wrote that before the story even happened. So that's probably not what happened. But the follow up to the story is the Chavetz Chaim came anyways. Chavetz Chaim came to the meeting. And when he comes to the meeting, he comes to the town, the Meshech Chacham asks him, what are you doing here? He said, I have a sister who's very sick. So the Meshech Chacham starts asking him questions, what's wrong with her? So he says, no, it's not really a sister who's sick. The word Achoisoi can sometimes mean the Torah. So I came here because I'm worried about my sister, the Torah. So he said, where do you see you can play such a game like that? He says, this week's Parsha. Avraham Avinu made up a whole story that she's my sister, Achoisoi. I check her. So the Ramah Paschus and Shulchan Aruch, you could say a word that could have two meanings. And it's not considered check. So he tied when Avraham Avinu said Achoisi, he meant she's my sister benevuas, means she's a higher level of nevuas than me. So it wasn't sheker gomer. So the Chofetz Chaim did the same thing. He thought it was mutter to him to say that I'm worried about my sister, the Torah, and therefore wouldn't consider a check. And he got it from this week's parasha that it's okay to lie. We learned the Gemara, famous Gemara in Shabbos, that says Gadol achnos derechim yois mekabos pnei Hashchina. That it's more important to talk to your friend than it is to talk to Hashem. So many people use this as a smach lehet to talk during davening.
Right.
That's pshat. You learn from this week's parasha, Gadol achnos derechim yois mekabos pnei Hashchina. So what do you see from there? That's so important to talk to your friend. It's more important than talking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So therefore they paskin that you're allowed to be mafsik in davening to talk to your friend. The reason why it's not correct is because the Gemara in Sanhedrin makes a drasha, v'dibar tabom v'loy betfilim. You're not allowed to be mafsik in the middle of tefillah, even for kavod or yira, to which the Mishnah says you're allowed to be mafsik for kriya shema. Salvechi go out of time as a chiddush. He thinks, how did Avraham Avinu know that halacha? Who told Avraham Avinu? We know it because of Avraham Avinu. Who told Avraham Avinu? So many terusim given. So Salvechi suggested that the reason is because Avraham Avinu realized, he holds this was an assign actually from Avraham Avinu. This was another one of the tests. Would he stop for Hashem? Would he not stop for Hashem? And he explained that Avraham Avinu realized the whole tafkid achayim, his purpose in his life, was yivot to be mekabel pnei Hashchina, but you see the chashivas are speaking to another person. Explained their salvation, but it's not so like that by davening. It's only by kriyashma, because kriyashma has the same status as kabbalah pnei Hashchina. Davening is a whole different experience. Davening, we're lowering ourselves and asking and beseeching Hashem. Davening, you have no right to talk to anyone. So this whole shtickle Torah is not true at all, because by davening, it's not like a kabbalah pnei Hashchina, and therefore you're not allowed to talk to your friend during davening. So that's a mistake. But it's an important lesson that you see the value of another human being, that kabbalah pnei Hashchina is always the most important thing in the world. But if a person needs help, see, if Shalom says it because the whole purpose of this world was to help. So if a person needs help, again, Shechta points this out, it's kedai to mention, Achnasas Orechim today is very limited. Achnasas Orechim doesn't mean you have the family down the block over for the Shabbos Suda. That's not Achnasas Orechim. That's nice because you want to have people at your table. That's not Hachnas Zorchim. Hachnas Zorchim is a rare occurrence, but every once in a while you have people that are mamish stranded. They have nowhere to go. They get stuck. Often you can have it on the short Fridays. You have people that are traveling and they get stuck and they need to go somewhere. That's mamish Hachnas Zorchim. Inviting a friend on the block because you want to have company at the Shabbos table is wonderful and terrific, but it's not Hachnas Zorchim. Called Chesed, whatever you want to call it. That's not what we call Hachnas Zorchim. Hachnas Zorchim means someone who's really coming off the boat from somewhere. He's stranded, he's stuck, or again, someone whose wife is not around and no one can cook him meals, or he doesn't know how to do takeout, whatever the case may be. But you know, because you want to have Shabbos guests because you want to have geshmaka conversations, that's not really Hachnas Zorchim. Hachnas Zorchim really means someone who really needs your help. So we don't have too many chances to do that, but I think the more we look, we would see there are people that need help in other ways, like the Pasuk says twice, Vayar. Because sometimes you have to see, you have to fashte the situation to realize that there's chesed that's needed. You might not present it on the superficial level. Same famous story at the Beis HaLevi, when the Beis HaLevi was once asked to Shaila, can you use milk for the Dal Kaisers? So Beis HaLevi realized this lady obviously doesn't have any chicken or meat, because you can't have milk for the third Kaiser after you had Shulchan Aruch. So he realized that the lady needs money. Often times no one's going to come up outwardly and say, listen, I need money, I'm broke. But if you can look and think and see and watch their life and be maven a little bit, sometimes you can often see that people need more help than they're willing to let us know.
So you always said at the beginning of that story, what was the psak that he gave? Did you have milk or he gave her money? Which one?
No, he gave her money. Oh. I think there's a shayf who used Chamar Medina.
Because that part I never heard. Yeah. The first.
Yeah. Okay, we're going to do something we really do here. We're going to learn Gemara. We're going to learn some Gemara. A lot of Gemara, actually. We're going to learn some Gemara. Let's try to learn some Gemara. So we're holding over here in the Gemara. We're trying to figure out where did Rabbi Eliezer get this bombshell of a chiddush that machshirei milo deicha Shabbos. Rabbi Eliezer held that I'm allowed to prepare the knife and I'm allowed to do all the hachana lemilo, not just the actual milo. The milo itself is deicha Shabbos. We know already. It says the Torah b'yemashmi nafilo b'Shabbos. But what about the machshireho milo? You're allowed to do even the preparatory with things. You're allowed to buy the knife and make the knife and go shopping for the knife. Even, let's not forget, Tosis and Yevamis holds, even if I could have done it on Friday, I was around on Friday, I just decided not to. That Rebbe Eliezer holds is permitted. So the question is, where does Rebbe Eliezer know it, A? And B, would this expand to other mitzvahs as well? Does this extend to another mitzvah? Or Mila is the only case no other mitzvah would have? So the Gemara discusses this at length. Zok the Gemara. You should know, says the Gemara, it's not by all mitzvahs. Rebbe Eliezer did not say this across the board that any mitzvah... It's Deiche Shabbos, Machshireh Deiche Shabbos. It's not true. Now, if it were to be true, what would the pshat be? We don't know. I mean, let's say it would be true. Let's say by all mitzvahs, Rabbi Eliezer held Machshireh Deiche Shabbos. What would the pshat in that be? Why would that be? Where would it be learned from? Where would I know it from? That would just be a din, that would be a svar. We'll have to talk a little bit about that. So the Gemara says, how do you know it's not true? Sharei Shtei Alechem, Chavis Hayoyim. We know the Shtei Alechem that was brought on Shavuos. Those needed to be brought on Shavuos, even if it was Shabbos. So that's an example of something, a mitzvah, that needed to take place on Shabbos. And the halacha was, had Rebbe Eliezer know you're allowed to prepare the Shteh Alechem for Shabbos, he only knew from Gzeir Shavu. The Tanya learned that a Brisa, Rebbe Eliezer, I'm in the Machshir Shteh Alechem Shadech Shabbos, how do you know the preparatory needs for the Shteh Alechem is Deich Shabbos? Now, before we'll see this, is Kanira Machloikish Peshainim. What was the preparatory things needed to prepare for the Shteh Alechem? What was the Shteh Alechem? 2 loaves of bread. Right, what do you need to do that's Chilul Shabbos to make loaves of bread? So baking it. But there's even in earlier stages, there's kneading, grinding, the earlier stages, 2 stages that could be debatable over here. So we'll see, that seems to be a Machloikish Peshainim, what Rabbi Eliezer was referring to.
But don't we say certain things by cooking, you know, before a certain aspect it's allowed and for certain things not?
On Shabbos?
That's Yom
Tov. Hey, we're talking about Shabbos now.
Yeah, but every year it's on Yom Tov. So if it's before Lisha, then why isn't it Shabbos?
So yeah, because that's a hetter for Yom Tov, but now it's Shabbos.
So before Lisha, there's no Chonetov. Lisha Vela. So if you say
okay.
You cut the grain...
Good, 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 okay. Right. That might be Pshat, we'll talk about that. So the Gemara says, Gzeir Shav. What's Gzeir Shav? Ma Hava Amura Bo'Oimer. Just like by the Karben Oimer, the halach is Machshiv and Deichan as a Shabbos. By the Oimer, the Karben Oimer is also brought on Yom Tov. That's on Pesach. Second day Pesach, so the Karben Omer, that the Machshirin is Deicha Shabbos, that's a special Zeirus HaKosov. Av Hava Amura B'Shtei Alechem, so to the bringing that said by Shtei Alechem, that's also Deicha Shabbos. So the Gemara is troubled, why do I need Zeirus Shavah to tell me that the Machshir is Shtei Alechem is Deicha Shabbos, all mitzvahs Machshir are Deicha Shabbos. Alamai, you see from this Gemara, it's not so. It's not that every mitzvah is Machshir are Deicha Shabbos, only specific, unique mitzvahs are Deicha Shabbos. Let's see Rashi, Zak Rashi, Loi L'chol Omer Rebbe Eliezer, Loi B'chol Machshirei Mitzvah Omer King. Rebbe Eliezer never meant it by all Machshirei Mitzvah, he only meant it by Milo. What exactly is it not so by? So we'll get to it, if not later, let's just mention it now. The Gemara comes up with two exceptions to the rule. The two exceptions to the rule are tzitzis and mezuzah. Let's say a person moves into a house right before Shabbos, or he buys a beged right before Shabbos. He's not permitted to put the mezuzah up on the door on Shabbos. He's not mutter to put the beged, the tzitzis onto the beged on Shabbos. That's not Rebbe Eliezer's heter of machshiri mitzvah deyches Shabbos. Those are the two exceptions. Every other mitzvah, sukkah, lulav, shofar, matzah, all of these are considered machshiri deyches Shabbos. You can do anything you do to be able to do this mitzvah. That's what the Gemara is going to get to a little later. I will talk more details about that probably more next week. So, Grashi, what's the halachem? Tatzeres, shvuas, chayvis, yoim hein. They're an obligation on the day. Vein lachar ad lamachal. There's no option to push off. V'lo ilomden Rebbe Eliezer, da'afiyosom tidcha Shabbos. Says Rashi, the what? And Rebbe Eliezer learning what the afiyah is da'icha Shabbos. Why did he jump to afiyah? Why didn't he suggest that the other parts, the tchina, the rekida, the merakid, all the other stuff? Elo b'gzeres shava. So, Grashi, v'b'chol machshirea mitzvah. So ikur ha-mitzvah neheges b'Shabbos. If any machshiri mitzvah with the main mitzvah is neheg on Shabbos, oma machshirei kamoisa, we say that the machshirei don't like it, lo mali gzeru shavu. Why do I need gzeru shavu? One more important Rashi, then we're going to get into the sugyo. The Rashi, ma ha-abo amura be'oim b'machshirei, dehainu k'tzira t'china v'hakado, shalah. Here Rashi says, when it comes to the carbon oimer, Rashi goes through all possible malachas, the grinding and the cutting and everything. But when it came to the shteilechem, Rashi just said the baking. So Rashi walks, it's learned from a pasuk, the minimum malachas. Becharish u'bekasit tishbet says, they're supposed to take a break from harvesting and cutting and planting. So Gemara makes a drasha, ma charish rishos, that's only when your charisha is for rishos. I've cut the rishos, yotzik, tzios ahimeh, but if you're cutting for the carbon ahimeh, shehi mitzvah, and then that's mutter on Shabbos. So the Gemara's kasha is, if Rebbe Eliezer believed, by every mitzvah we apply the rule, machshireh ha-deiche Shabbos, why do I need a special gzer shava to be matir shtei halech? That's the kasha of the Gemara. Let's see the Maram. The Maram is bothered with a kasha. Where would this all be learned out from? Where would I learn out that machshirei mitzvah b'chol ha-tarei kula is deiche Shabbos? So the Maram writes in number 3, yesh didaktik. Where's your starting point? Why are you assuming that all machshirei mitzvah deichas Shabbos? You have to start from somewhere. You have to have a pre-existing notion or a pre-existing makar, and you'll apply it to other places. So the obvious thing would be for milah. Now, we didn't yet learn how Rebbe Eliezer knows it by milah either. But let's say, naniach, somehow Rebbe Eliezer knows that by milah, machshirei deichas Shabbos, and you'll learn a memetzinu, everything for milah. Says the Maram, you can't do that. Why? The Gemara itself has a pircha later on. The mila is unique because it says the word bris 13 times. That makes it special. That makes it unique, and therefore you can't learn out l'chol ha-torah kula. So how would I be able to learn other mitzvahs? Let's say shtei alechem. How would I be able to learn that the shtei alechem machshivei is derech Shabbos from mila? Mila is unique. No other mitzvahs like mila. So what was the cheshbon of the Gemara? That's the Maram's question. The pasuk says the actual milah. It doesn't say anything about the machshirin. The pasuk says you doicha Shabbos to do the actual cutting. It doesn't say you doicha Shabbos to buy the knife. So that was Rabbi Eliezer's extended chiddush. So now Rabbi Eliezer is going to extend it to other mitzvahs as well. Frek the Maram, you have no right to do so.
Going back to the Gemara a second. When Rabbi Eliezer says minayin lemachshir shtei alechem shadoknes the Shabbos, right? Mm-hmm. What was that gzeir shavah? Because it says havah b'yomer, therefore what?
So we compare. It says the word havah by oimer and the word havah b'shtei alechem. So we make gzeir shavah. Just like by oimer, it's doicha. So too by shtei alechem.
By oimer what?
The machshirin. Now we're going to see in a second that by oimer it might be different than lomdus than the shtei alechem. We'll get to that in a few minutes. But right at this point in the Gemara thinks they're comparable.
The Gemara thinks that
they're both comparable. They're both karbanos or parts of karbanos that are offered. They both have the word havah and they both have preparatory responsibilities. And the Gemara thinks they're the same. We're going to get to in a second that they're not the same. We're showing them have kashas already. So what's the Maram answer? A very big chiddush. He writes, Nire shem da'avisakadaitich loyma da'hodikom eblozah da'machshirim midi'dech ha'shabbos loy mikro yalafla. Unbelievable. Says the Maram, it's none to a psukim. Elo misvara. This whole thing is logical. What's the svara? The kashem sha mitzvah atzma deiches Shabbos, just like the mitzvah itself is deiches Shabbos, kach machshireho deichin is a Shabbos. Unbelievable svara. Who would have thought that min asvara? I would have thought min asvara that the mice is deiches. Aim by elechadusha. That's usually the rule we apply. You can't learn out more than is offered. If all the Torah tells us b'yem hashmini yimo means you're allowed to do the mice meal on Shabbos, that doesn't mean I'm allowed to go to the store and buy the knife also on Shabbos. So this is maybe something we saw in Rishayim already, that you know, this lum is called a mila arichta. Everything's one long package. It's all one procedure, one whatever these words exactly mean. So therefore here also, if you're willing to accept that's one maisa arichta, so then maybe it makes sense. So it says, Maram, ulkach, Havisaka died. So then the Havim in the Gemara is very good. The Huadin Bechol Mili Svila Reb Loz Demachshiyim Mitzvah the Shabbos Mitzvara Kamei Bemila. If Pshan Reb Eliezer is not from a pasuk, it's a svara. So then Takein Echlami. Every mitzvah should say like that. If you tell me now that there's some svara, which it's hard for us to understand, that there's a svara that any time a mitzvah needs to be done on Shabbos, not only the ma'aseh mitzvah deicha Shabbos, but the prep to get there is also deicha Shabbos. So then what's the difference between mila and any other mitzvah? So he writes, Avo medechazinu b'shtei alechem d'lo ilom d'reb loz elog zeir shavah. But now that the Gemara, this is the flow of the Gemara. This is the starting point of the Gemara. The starting point of the Gemara would have been in a perfect world that all mitzvahs are machshivei deicha Shabbos because svaris. And then we say, well, it's clearly not true. Why? From the fact that the Torah had to write zeir shavah, shema medeloi svar sviyad loz machshivei mitzvah deicha Shabbos. It must be, it's not a svara. Elo b'chol duchten sviyad machshivei deicha Shabbos, isli ribu v'limud mikra. Each one needs a pasuk. Now you could argue on that and say, no, maybe just shtei alechem is the odd one out. Maybe there's something different about Shtei Alechem, which is why it doesn't fit the Svara, why other mitzvahs would fit the Svara. And that's possible also. The Ram didn't go there. He jumped another level. He said, oh, you see from the Gemara that every time you want to say Machshire Mitzvah Shabbos, you have to have a pasuk. Maybe not. Maybe Shtei Alechem was a chasarin, it was missing something, and that's why it needed Xeris HaKas. But whatever the case may be, it's Mevor B'Gemara that the Gemara has a Svara that machshire mila doicha that machshire mitzvah doicha nesach Shabbos.
What's a higher level? Xeris kasev or
svara? I would assume xeris kasev is.
Right.
I think the point of Maram is really just if you're going to go with the route of drushes, you're going to get stuck because there's pirchos. Mm-hmm. So he said, I'm not going that route. I'm going the route of svaras. Now we mentioned a few weeks ago that the many rishonim. Had a kasha, why don't we apply the rule of Efshe L'Kayim Shneim by Mila? According to B'Eliezer, why can't, if you could do both, why not do both? So the Ramban and the Rashba said, because you don't have to. Because it's Mila itself is Deicha Shabbos, and therefore it's like the Torah is saying, you don't have to do both. What about all other mitzvahs? Let's say, for example, I can be a Mayit, I can bring the knife in a way that only be Nesed Rabbanon. So I don't have to be over to the Torah to do the mitzvah. So, according to B'Eliezer, you don't have to do that. You have all the right in the world to violate the Torah, even though you don't have to. Even though you can make it work in a perfect world without violating the Torah. So the Ramban and the Rashba both said, the reason for that is because since the Mila itself is Deicha Shabbos, so therefore the Machshireh is also. So my Rabbi Rav Kalman pointed this out when he learned to blaze the Mila. He said, 1 second, what are you going to do with another mitzvah where the mitzvah itself is not Deicha Shabbos? Let's say, for example, Sukkah is not Deicha Shabbos. But you keep Sukkah on Shabbos as well. The mitzvah itself is not Deicha Shabbos. So if the mitzvah itself is not Deicha Shabbos, so l'chayre, you have no reason to justify that the machshireha should be Deicha Shabbos in a way where I could do it without violating the Torah. Let's say, for example, a person needs to build a sukkah. According to Elazar, sukkah is allowed to be built on Shabbos. So let's say he could build a sukkah in two ways. He could build a sukkah one way that would be Nisid Araisa, or he could build a sukkah in a way that would only be Nisid Rabban. So l'chayre, sukkah itself is not Deicha Shabbos. Sukkah is a mitzvah. It's not Deicha Shabbos directly, right? People keep Sukkot without violating Shabbos. So then the Chari, you don't have the het of Efshe L'Kayim Shneim. You can't say, well, I can do whatever I want. No, you can't. It's only by Mila you could do whatever you want because the mitzvah itself of Mila is Deicha. Mashenki, let's say something like a Sukkah or something like Lulav where it's not a direct steerer to the mitzvah, then the Chari, you'd have to work around Efshe L'Kayim Shneim. That's the Chari.
If it's the Chuyah, not if it's Hutcher?
Not necessarily. Depends who you ask. That's a machlokes.
Right, because I would think...
That's a machlokes. That's a shayla.
That's what the Maharam is saying is the Havim in the Gemara.
The what?
If the mitzvah is Docha Shabbos, therefore the Mashiach is Docha Shabbos. Meaning if the mitzvah is not Docha Shabbos...
Okay, good. That's what I want to follow up with, right? That's really what we have to talk about much more is when we're talking about Shtei Alechem and we're talking about Oimer and we're talking about other mitzvahs, all those cases, the mitzvah itself is not necessarily Deicha Shabbos. Bringing of the Shtei Alechem is not Deicha Shabbos. There's no malach involved.
The actual
Shtei Alechem is not Deicha Shabbos. That's what we get to in a second. So let's hold off at that for
one. It's Atzeret Chol Yom, and you can't push it off. Why doesn't Rashi entertain the Hav that you could do it earlier? Bake the Shtei Alechem on Friday.
So that no one discusses. So why didn't you just do everything earlier? So that we're going to talk a little bit more about at the end of the Gemara.
Yeah, over Shabbos, but Chazal made takanas because you might come to be over Shabbos, right. Like long as Shofar.
Xeir the Rabbah, right? That was later, right?
You're not allowed.
That was a separate Xeir the Rabbanon, right?
Right. And yet they stop you from doing it because you might come to something else.
Here, it's such an opposite. Right. So we touched once about it. Why shouldn't Mila be also based on Xavier the Rabbah? Why shouldn't you be allowed to do Mila be Mashmidi B'Shabbos as Xavier the Rabbah? So we showed him ask his kash. We showed him a couple of places. They ask us a Megillah. They ask him a couple of places. It's a Shiloh. But that was only later. Well, that's all post, at times of the Gemara. So let's see the Maram over here. The Maram number 4 is bothered with the diuk that we made in Rashi. The Rashi says the afia. Zok to Maram, miloshin Rashi mashma the avogavdi afinish the alechem yomir gzirshav. Again, we're holding now with a limud. It's a real limud. It's a limud one from the other. So if it's a real limud from the shtei alechem from the yomir, by the yomir they're allowed to do everything. Zok to Maram. We're still not making it like a perfect comparison. When it comes to the carbon, you can do much more prep to get it ready. You don't have to only just bake it, you can grind it and all the other malachas. Yet says the Maram, it's deep from Rashi, it's pretty clear. It's only the afia that you're allowed to do on Shabbos. Why not? So he's going to tell us a line of the Gemara which we haven't seen yet. But that's his aura. Now, it's a good deal in Rashi, but in other Rishonim, it's clearly not so. If you look at number 5, the Ritva didn't hold like this. If you look at the Ritva writes, number 5, Minayin lemach shirish te'alechem, kigang tzira o yafia. He says either. So the Ritva is clearly not going like Rashi. So it's not clear to me what's the nekudas hamachloikis between, we'll call it Rashi and the Ritva. It's strange because if we're learning one from the other, it should simply follow the same rules. Meaning if it's a svara, okay, maybe. But what time it's a tzirashava, I'm learning one from the other. So I'm learning one from the other. It seems to, should follow the same rule. If it should follow the same rule, it's a shtikl tzorichi and why Rashi held only the afi and not the other parts.
Omer, how do we know that you could do machshirah?
Special gzeres hakasif. Special exercise of kasif. Yeah, right. There's a long taisis which I opted out of that goes through this, because if it's a special exercise of kasif, that all the makshirin of the oimer, you're allowed to do everything. Ktsira, that was the drasha Rashi quoted. You're allowed to do the ktsira, you're allowed to do the harish, you're allowed to do everything. All the prep you need for the oimer, you can do. But when it comes to learning the shteil lechem from that, we're only learning the baking, not the rest of it.
But yeah. By the omer, when the Torah says, the ketzira and everything else, is that really
machshirin,
or is that
okay? Good. Okay, that's what we're gonna get to in a second. That's gonna be the pircha on this drasha. We're gonna see the whole gzeir shav is off because it's a pircha. That we're gonna get to.
Gzeir shav is a
Yeah. The problem is we're gonna.
I don't have to bother on Erev Shabbos taking care of everything. I'm gonna leave it off for Shabbos.
That's what it sounds like. It sounds like I have the right to do this on Shabbos. I don't have to do prepare before
chachila,
right? So let's see Tosfos over here, number 6. The Tosfos explains the Gemara. So Tosfos, the Kama Mefarshi, the Gemara is going to explain later on. The Asa, the Mutei, Tzitzis, Umezuzah. The only two mitzvahs where, according to Eliezer, Machshirin is not Doeche Shabbos, is going to be Tzitzis and Mezuzah. Vachi Perusha, this is what Rabbi Elazar means. Loi kol mitzvahs and a heges b'Shabbos, am lozer shemachshirin yitzvah Shabbos. Not every mitzvah that you keep on Shabbos is the Machshirin Doeche. Why? Because we learn from Sharei Shtei Alechem. Okay. Zog Tosfos, Umash Malachoira. You see from the Gemara, if there was never a din that Rabbi Eliezer came onto a gzeir shava for shtei alechem, and shtei alechem would taka be a svara, having gemrinon letzitzis umezuzah memila. Here you see klar from Tosfos, not like the Maran. Tosfos was suggesting that I'd be learning everything from Mila. Right? I'd be learning machshirei kol hamitzvos from Mila, not like the Maran. The Maram told us we're never learning from Mila because Mila has the pircha of Yud Gimel Brises. Here it sounds like from the Tosfos, no, we would learn everything from Mila. The name and say the machshirei doeche Shabbos. That's the way we learned the Gemara. He's going not like the Maram Tosfos. He's saying that before we saw the Gemara about shtei alechem, the way we would have assumed is that every mitzvah that's relevant on Shabbos, machshirei doeche Shabbos, doeme to Mila. Frek Tosfos, the temahu, things are pella. Heichi shayach lemeil of tzitzis u'mezuzah v'mila. How on earth can you think to learn out tzitzis and mezuzah for Mila? The Mila dinu de machshirei doeche Shabbos, dihi atzmai doeche Shabbos. Do you know why the machshirei Shabbos are doeche Shabbos? Because Mila is doeche Shabbos. Mila is not just a mitzvah that's applicable on Shabbos, it's a mitzvah that directly violates the Shabbos. And still the Torah says, it's okay. So then I can hear one suggesting that not only is the mitzvah mutter, even the machshirin. Aval tzitzis u mezuzah eim mitzvos in dechir Shabbos. But there's no din in the Torah that wearing tzitzis is a direct violation of the Shabbos. Or having a mezuzah is a direct violation to having a Shabbos. Putting up a mezuzah for the first time is a violation of Shabbos. Or putting in tzitzis into a bag for the first time is a violation of Shabbos. So why on earth should you think machshirei doeche Shabbos? And Tosfos leaves off with a tzorichin. Now...
But don't they have to exist while Shabbos exists? Meaning, so if you're... It's the same type of... Not directly, obviously, because there's an eighth, a specific time, but they collide, the times collide anyway. by virtue of the fact you have a kiyum, you have a chiyum of tzitzis.
Yeah, but wearing tzitzis be said that doesn't violate the Shabbos.
No.
You could buy the baguette on Friday, put the tzitzis on Friday.
But the absence of, you know,
what do you mean?
The requirement to have tzitzis.
That violates Shabbos?
Well, it could if you can't have it.
Oh, that's a secondary case. Meaning the actual mitzvah of levisha tzitzis or putting tzitzis into a baguette is not a contradiction to Shabbos.
No.
But doing a milah is always going to be a contradiction to Shabbos.
Yeah.
That's the kasha. Meaning these two mitzvahs, milah and mezuzah and tzitzis, do not necessarily violate, neither does sukkah for that matter. Right? Sukkah doesn't violate Shabbos. You can have a sukkah built on Erev Shabbos and sit in the sukkah on Shabbos. There's no isser of sitting in a sukkah. There is an isser to do a milah on Shabbos. So Taisvis asks for milah, from tzitzis and mezuzah, and Taisvis leaves it for the kasha. Doesn't answer it. It's a shtaka kasha. Taisvis doesn't understand the havamin. This is could be why the Maram thought not to learn like this. The Maram thought the better way of learning it is just everything's a svara, nothing to do with milah. Stay away from milah. Don't compare it to milah. Milah is unique. Then the kasha is very shver. Then who gave Rabbi Eliezer the right to make that huge jump from milah to anything else? If milah is so unique, so you have no right to jump to other mitzvahs. And Tosfos leaves off with the kasha.
Is the shtetl itself? Is that itself when we say it's derech isha? Is that part of the korban?
Ah, that's what we see right now. Frekter Ritvah. The same kasha, but he asks instead of tzitzis and mezuzah, he asks from shtei alechem. The actual bringing of two loaves of bread is not a violation of the Torah. You could do that on Shabbos. It's how you get the bread is the problem. Same thing with tzitzis. Tzitzis is how you get your tzitzis in your baguette is a shayla. But the actual thing of wearing a baguette on tzitzis, baguette is not a violation. Frekter Ritvah, number 7. What? No, it's a baguette. It's a baguette. It's considered a baguette. Or mezuzah for sure not. Once you put the mezuzah up on your house, you're good to go. Vim Torah, my Frekter Ritvah. The Dilma, the Chol, Amar Rebbe Elazar Machshirei Mitzvah, K'mitzvah, maybe really Rebbe Elazar holds. Every other mitzvah, the mitzvah machshirei is like the mitzvah. Aye, what about, again, the same kasha. So why did you need to exer a shavah v'shtei alechem? V'shani gai v'shtei alechem, the mitzvah atzma, yidayin hua gosho, ein adeich ha-shabbos. Because by shtei alechem, the mitzvah itself does not push away Shabbos. Why? The ha-gosho lav malachi hi klal. The actual bringing of the two loaves of bread is not a violation of the Shabbos. Hilkoch dinu the machshirin shay malacha, so yitchu Shabbos el gzeir Shabbos. So that's why it's machshirin shouldn't be deich Shabbos, because you can't be better than the mitzvah itself. If the mitzvah itself doesn't violate the Shabbos, why
was there a requirement that the bread be fresh?
No, sounds like not. Sounds like not. Sounds like you
could have made the bread yesterday.
Could have made it yesterday and brought it. Avol b'shar mitzvah says the ritva. When it comes to other mitzvahs, shah mitzvah atzma hi malacha, and we have to figure out how many malachas this is really going to be. The only one we can think of is Mila. But I don't know what other ones it will be. We have another case, Sha'isin Chabura, Islam the Machshiri, Nami Derechim the Yafin the Mila. He's really asking the same kasha as Taisvus, but coming from a different angle. He's asking from the Shtei Alechem, while Taisvus was asking it from Tzitzis and Mezuzah. Shtikul Tzarechin, maybe. Why didn't Taisvus ask from the Shtei Alechem? And why didn't the Ritva ask from Mila and Tzitzis? Okay, maybe we'll talk about it. Says the Ritva. So what's the answer? It's a Valga Kasha. V'yishloim adem mikom mokom. Amai Koma Rebbe Eliezer, the Doichin Machshire Shabbos, Bisham the Kamila Arichta Damye. The reason why Rebbe Eliezer held Machshire Mila Doichin Shabbos is not because Mila is Doichin Shabbos. We thought that the Pshat is, and this is the way most of us would have thought, is that Machshire is piggybacking off of the Malach. If I could do the Malach, I could do its Machshire. Says Ritva, that's not the Pshat. What the Pshat is? The Pshat is Tamazay, there's a din that Machshire Mitzvah Doichin Shabbos. Irrelevant to the Mitzvah. Whatever that means. V'mk neimer b'chol ha-mitzvahs mitzvah richta damye. Meaning, it's the final result. If the final result is that this mitzvah takes place on Shabbos, whether or not this mitzvah directly has a violation of the Shabbos or not, so therefore the machshirin work also. Meaning, don't look at the machshirin as a connection to the actual mitzvah. If I can be doich of the mitzvah, I can be doich of the machshirin. He looked at it as it's a separate thing. There's a separate chashivas given to machshirei. I partially don't understand this mitzvah.
Because
yeah,
you know,
he doesn't say. He doesn't say where he learned it from. There's some svar that's one long extension. Umali lemeil b'zeir shavah. Now again, this is hard to understand if the malach itself is not violating the Shabbos, right?
But where do you get this svar from? It's only from Mila.
Right. I have a very difficult time understanding this ritva's lomdus.
But according to this ritva, by sukkah it wouldn't apply because in other words, you still can't do the melacha. No,
it is. He is. He's saying it would. He would say he's saying that machshire mitzvah zeicher Shabbos not because the mitzvah zeicher Shabbos. That's his whole kash.
So according to him, you could literally do all the machshire mitzvah to build your sukkah on Shabbos.
Right. But that's the whole gemara's kash. Without the gzeir shava of the shtei alechem, this is what I would have thought. That was a kash. The kash was, what would you have thought about shtei alechem? You would have thought shtei alechem is unique. The answer says no, says the mitzvah. You would have thought the machshirin mitzvah deich Shabbos is a din of machshirin. Not so much a din of mitzvah deich Shabbos. It's a din of separate din that machshirei have a koyach to be deich Shabbos.
But now that I have Zeresh, I know I'm wrong.
That's right. But that was the Havamina. The Havamina would have been something which is hard to understand. I don't claim to understand it. That you would have thought that Machshirei Mitzvah is a separate entity called Machshirei Mitzvah. And that has a power to be Doicha. Even though the Mitzvah itself is not being Doicha. The Mitzvah itself is not Doicha Shabbos. But in the Matzif that I'm in now, now that I need to violate the Shabbos to get to the Mitzvah, although the Mitzvah itself doesn't require that, but now that I'm in this Matzif.
But it's only in a case where in order to get the mitzvah still has to be done on Shabbos.
Yes, agreed.
Not that I'm agreed. Building my Shabbos, right, exactly.
Meaning he's understanding Machshirei Mitzvah means what you the prep that you put in to do a mitzvah on Shabbos is Deicha Shabbos. Not because the mitzvah itself is Deicha Shabbos. Rabbi Eliezer will tell you that you have the right to do whatever you need to do mitzvahs on Shabbos. The mitzvah itself is not Deicha Shabbos. Oh, okay, fine. But now I'm not in that matzvah. I'm in a different matzvah now.
Why? You're going to build a sukkah on Shabbos, but you can't sit on Shabbos?
No, you can't sit on Shabbos.
The sukkah itself is not Deicha Shabbos.
No, normally it's not. Normally they don't come in conflict. But here they do come in conflict because I don't have a sukkah.
I don't have a sukkah now.
And now Rebbe Eliezer looks at Machshirei Mitzvah as whatever I need to do to get a mitzvah done. So if I need to build a sukkah, I need to build a sukkah. I sukkah itself, who cares what sukkah does? You're right. So if I'm a normal person and I build a sukkah and I have sukkahs, I don't have to violate the Shabbos. But now in the matzav that I'm in, so Rebbe Eliezer looks at Machshirei Mitzvah as a separate entity.
That's mitzvah is even more chamer, or However you want to look at it, that's right.
That's his cash. No, because you're looking at it from the angle of saying that if the mitzvah is Deicha Shabbos, so then it's Machshirin or Deicha Shabbos as well. That's not the way you have to look at it according to the Ritva. The way you look at it is it comes out strange. It's separate. It does come out so much strange, but so, if you think about it differently, because we're so used to thinking of it as an offshoot of Deicha Shabbos. We look at Machshirin as the next step. Well, the mitzvah is Deicha Shabbos, not only the mitzvah, but the Machshirin. Look at it differently. Look at it that Rabbi Eliezer holds, you could do whatever you need to do to make mitzvah happen. I can do whatever I need to do to make this mitzvah happen.
Blew down our Friday night.
That's what he says.
Now I'm stuck with
that's Rebbe Eliezer. So according to Rebbe Eliezer, okay, it depends where you're. Again, I think it very much depends. It depends where your starting point is. If you're starting from the way most of us assume Machshirei Mitzvah as an offshoot of the mitzvah, then it's hard to understand. If you look at Rebbe Eliezer as a din, whoever he learns it from, Svara or whatever, that Rebbe Eliezer holds Machshirei Mitzvah means you do whatever you need to do to make mitzvahs happen. Now Yesh Lodun. Why did Tosfos not ask from Shtei Alechem? Tosfos could have asked the same kasha from the Shtei Alechem. Why didn't he ask from the Shtei Alechem? So the Netziv has a piece over here in number 8. I went a shtickle out of order. There's a var from the Noi Debihuda and the Tzlach. Okay, I'll mention very quickly. The Tzlach just has a kasha. He wants to know why is the Gemara spending an omen and a half? The Gemara ends up spending close to a blot and change. In Rebbe Eliezer, we don't pass like Rebbe Eliezer. Why are you wasting everyone's time? We don't pass like Rebbe Eliezer. We pass like Rabbanan. Yeah. That's what I would have thought. When I saw his kash of Netzach, I'm like, really? You know, Shas could have been a lot shorter, you know, if we'd go that version. But that's a kash of Netzach. So he wants the tiny. You're right. The only reason why we learned this Gemara was because if we can figure out Rebbe Eliezer, so maybe we can help us figure out the Rabbanan. The counter arguments. That was a piece of tzlach of it. But it's an interesting kasha of when you ask this, when you don't ask this kasha. I don't know. I'm not sure. But the Netziv in number 8 in Meremi Sodi, he wants to taina. Maybe the reason why Tosfos didn't ask him the Shtei Alechem, because maybe there is part of the Shtei Alechem that in itself is the Deicha Shabbos, the bringing of the karbonos. There's two parts to the Shtei Alechem. There's the bread, and there's also animals. So the Netziv has the possibility that if the animals, if it's a package deal, you got to bring everything together, so that you got to bring the animals you have to Shechtan Shabbos, so that it's a whole package is Taka, in itself is Deicha Shabbos, even though it's really part of another, but at least the whole matzif package steel is considered Deicha Shabbos. Well, that's what it's suggesting.
Why don't you ask one regular
Karbanos
to bring on Shabbos?
Oh. Okay, so there are those who want to tie it, maybe that's Pshat in this Ritva. Maybe that's why the Ritva never asked from... Maybe that's why the Ritva only asked from Shtei Alechem and not from Tzitzis, because the Ritva knew in his mind that by Karbonis, there's always this possibility that we find a musig of preparatory Chilul Shabbos for Karbonis. Mashaikim, by Tzitzis and Mezuzah, that there's no basis at all. Maybe that's why Tosfos, it might be negated the Cheshbonis of Tosfos and the Ritva, of why one asked from Shtei Alechem, one asked from...
So the Gemara
says by Karbonis, that's considered to be...
How's
the Gemara? No, that's the mitzvah. The question of the Gemara was, is that Hutra Dchuya? So that's the Shaila of the Gemara. Is that Hutra Dchuya? So I think the Gemara comes out. That was the Vilna Goin we saw with Kveger, the Vilna Goin we saw last week. That the Ramah and the Vilna Goin were arguing, what's Avodah B'Mikdash? Is Avodah B'Mikdash Hutra or is Avodah B'Mikdash Dchuya? Why you're allowed to have more than one carbon do, more than one coin works in the base of Mikdash?
But the bottom line is, each Avodah that they're doing is not Hechsher mitzvah, it's the mitzvah itself.
Right, but
all the things that are part of the mitzvah.
Right, the question is if you at least find, if you find in the world of Kabbonis that there's some element that you're allowed to be Mechal Shabbos, so then maybe.
That's the performance of the Mitzvah.
We're going to see in a second. So let's see the Gemara. Let's go back to the Gemara for a second. The question that everyone was thinking about. So the Gemara has a line over there. The Gemara says, Mufni, are these psukim really opened? Meaning, is this a real Gzeir Shava? Why? The Eloi Mufni, if they're not really opened, if they're not really extra, Ikal Mifach, I have a great Pircha on this Gzeir Shava. And normally we think you don't ask Pirchas and Gzeir Shavas, but here the Gemara says, if they're not opened, you have the right to ask Pirchas. What's the Pircha? Ma lo Oimer. I'll tell you, the Oimer is different than the Shteilechem. Why? Shekeinem Motz, a Kotzur, Kaitzer. When it comes to the Karban Oimer, if you find everything cut, you'd still have to cut it. Toimah b'shteilechem, as opposed to the Shteilechem, Shekeinem Motz, a Kotzur, ain't a Kaitzer. What do these words mean? So the Rashi explains, because by the Oimer, there's a special thing, you have to cut it l'shma. So let's say you show up on the second day of Pesach and everything, all the grain, the wheat was cut. Some malach came and cut it. You'd still have to cut it. Because there's a din that needs to be cut l'shma. It's like Rashi, shechein matzah katzer, shaloi l'shem oimer, mitzvah l'ktzer l'shma. You got to do it l'shma. D'chsev, uktzartem, v'aveisem, hilkach tzira gufa. Therefore, the ktzira itself is different than the ktzira of the shtei alechem. By the shtei alechem, you gotta get the final result. You gotta get the bread. The way you get bread is you cut down wheat and you process it and you get bread. So the processing is different from the shtei alechem than it is from the shtei alechem than it is from the oimer.
What are you cutting? It's cut already.
You have to recut new ones. You have to cut new ones. You have to cut l'shma. So now here's the chakira. How do you learn this pircha? Is this pircha just a typical pircha? A is different than B. In Pashat, you learn that the Pirch of the Gemara is that Shtei Alechem is unique versus the Karban Oimer, or the Oimer is unique versus the Shtei Alechem. The Oimer has a strange din called Lashma. Shtei Alechem doesn't have Lashma. They're not comparable. Go home. That's a simple way of learning the Gemara. But there's always a more lomdish way of learning the Gemara. What's the more lomdish way of learning the Gemara? Is that the Ktziras HaOimer is not Machshire Mitzvah, it's the Mitzvah itself. If there's rules and regulations that had to prepare the cutting, that means the cutting is not just machshire. The cutting is mitzvah gufa. So then I can't learn out something that I had the oimer, which is only machshire. By the bringing of the shtei alechem, we all agree that how you prep the bread is not the mitzvah. The mitzvah is bringing the bread. So that whole prep is called machshire. But by the oimer, because you find all these details on how to cut the oimer, that should lead us to believe that the cutting of the oimer is part of the mitzvah. So that's Deicha Shabbos, because the mitzvah is Deicha Shabbos. As opposed to machshire, you have no right. Kinira, that's how the Ritva learned. If you look in the Ritva.
Does it have to be Lishma also?
What?
Doesn't tzitzit have to be Lishma also?
Okay.
So
that's true.
Say that making tzitzit is also not a Hechsher mitzvah.
So we're going to talk about tzitzit. So if you turn to the next side, it's out of order, but the Ritva number 13 seems to learn like the second side. He writes in number 13, the Be'idon Ktzira Lishma, the Chsev Uktzartim Vavesim Hilkach, Kivin Shak Tzira Mitzvahi. Since the ktsira itself is a mitzvah, dinu shetitcha Shabbos. That's why it's tzitcha Shabbos, because it's a mitzvah. It's not a hechsher mitzvah. So the chayyim, both the Ritva and Rashi, seem to be learning like the second side. Not stam that they're different and therefore they're not comparable. There's a lumdus over here. The lumdus is that they're not the same cutting. The cutting of the shtei alechem is a cutting of a mitzvah. The cutting of the oimer is a ktsira mitzvah. The cutting of the shtei alechem is merely a hechsher, and therefore you have no raya that hechsher mitzvah is tzitcha Shabbos.
Then you get the issue
of domino,
that if you hold the second way, that means then you, no matter what you hold in that machlokas,
zero shava. Oh, so that's the kasha. Oh, good. Okay, so that's the kasha. The kasha is if it's such a good svara, so the Gemara is going to say in a second it's mufna, so you have the right to make the zero shava. Gemara is going to say we have a rule that if the zero shava is mufna, if it's an open zero shava, then you can ask kashas and still learn the zero shava. That's the Gemara. Well, let's see it right now. So the Gemara speaks to that. The Gemara says. What?
You have to put the
stach
on the shem sukkah also. Not
right, that's true. So and therefore what? So you want
to
argue?
Part of the mitzvah, it's not a hechsher mitzvah according to this.
And we haven't yet seen what we're going to do with sukkah. Hold on, we're going to get to it. So Gemara says, mufni, it's extra. The loy mufni, because if it's not extra, I have a pircha. Yeah, I have a pircha ma'aloyim shekeni matzah katzah kurset tamer shteilechem shematzah katzah ene kurset. The Gemara says, lie, it's true. Afnuyim mufnu, it's taka extra. It's an open. Michtik, it says in the Torah, v'aveisim is oimer reishis katzichem alakoyin. He's supposed to bring the oimer reishis katzichem alakoyin. P'yim haviachem. The Gemara says, lomli, why do I need that word? Shemamin al afnuyim. So then the Gemara says, v'akati mufna, mitzarechad hu. It's only open one side. V'shamin al Rebbe Eliezer. We know Rebbe Eliezer himself holds. Mufna mitzarechad l'midum u'meshivin. If it's only open from one side, you can ask a kasha and shlug up the Gzeir Shav. The Gemara says, taviyu ribuyehu. Fine. It's a ribuy, so you can, everything passes. It's all good. Fine. Now this is what we need to pick up in the Gemara. Start the Gemara. L'mutei mai. Fine. I learned from this Gzeir Shabbat that Rebbe Eliezer limited Machshivei Mitzvah Deicha Shabbos to certain cases. What was excluded in Rebbe Eliezer's world? So Gemara says, Ilem Lemutei Lulav. Maybe it's coming to exclude Lulav, that you can't do Machshirei Lulav for Shabbos. But would Machshirei Lulav be for Shabbos? So Rashi, the Gemara says, it's not true. V'atanya Lulav v'chol Machshirei Deichin is the Shabbos de Rebbe Eliezer. That's just not true. Rebbe Eliezer says you could. Now what would Machshirei Lulav be? So if you look in Rashi, on number 2 on the left side, so Rashi v'chol Machshirov, k'in l'koytetzoy min ha-mechuber. To cut the lulav off the deco tree. You want to detach it. You have that, it grows on the tree, you got to detach it. So that would be Machshirei Shabbos, Deicha Shabbos. The Tzlach in number 9 has a comment over here where he thinks it's not true. He thinks there's no din that you have to be Toilish on lulav in order to be Yetzir. You could be Yetzir lulav if the lulav is attached to the tree. He writes over in number 9, She'afin not loy biyodi b'mechubar, lomu loyei nafik bay. Why shouldn't you be Yetzir? Harei lokhu biyodi. You took it. Or lekachtem ksif. So the Tzlach has this Gvaldik Chedishim. The Noida Behuda holds. Might be. I'll be this Rabban. The Noida Behuda holds. It's a big Chedish. Again, Rashi clearly disagrees, right? Because Rashi holds that you're supposed to detach it from the ground because you can't have it attached to the tree. So the Tzlach Taina is you have to detach it. So the Kash is, what does the Tzlach do with Rashi?
Just talking about all Dal and
Minim? No, we're just talking about Lulav. The other ones are more complicated. No, the other Dal and Minim you have. You'd stick them in. Or somehow be attached, you stick everything else in, and you do it.
Why is Lulav Docher Shabbos?
So that's the problem. That's always the kasha. The mitzvah of Lulav, well, before Rabbah came along, we used to take Lulav on Shabbos. But now, Lulav is not a direct violation of Shabbos. It's not like Mila. It's just that, again, we have to start looking at it like this, that Rebbe Eliezer holds, you could do whatever you need to do on Shabbos to do mitzvahs on Shabbos. So if I need to do Lulav on Shabbos, and my Lulav is attached to a tree, I cut it off, and I make it happen. That's the svar of Rebbe Eliezer. So Rashi holds...
According to this slach, it's considered lokachtem if it's still attached?
He says, Loma lo ye nafik pe, have a lokchu biyada, you took it with your hand. Well, lokachtem, that's considered lokachtem.
Even though it's attached, it's still not attached.
No, he holds it, you're still holding it in your hand. So Rashi by us says clearly not like that. Now there's a Rashi in Sukkah Daf Gimel on the bottom left corner. Rashi in Sukkah Daf Gimel writes, it's the same Gemara, and Rashi over there says, Boha Kosov Lam, the Torah teaches me, Shemachshirei Lulav Doichenes Shabbos, Kloimar Tiknua, you're supposed to prepare the Lulav for Shabbos, Vafil Lekotzim and Amachubar, even if that requires you to detach it from the ground, Ula Oigdoi, and to tie it. So the Aderes, who was the Aderes? Father of Reb Cook, right? That's one of his claims to fame. The Aderes was originally a Rav in Aderes was his name was Eliyahu David Rabinovich. So who is the tough Tumim? He was born with a twin brother. That's the brother. His brother was also a big Talmud Chacham. So the Aderes was a Rav originally in Mir, the city of Mir. When he wrote the Tshuva to the Marsham, which I put on the next page, number 11, he sent the first Shtikl Marsham, Simon Aleph, Chelik Aleph of the Marsham. So there's a letter from the Aderes to the Marsham. And he writes at the top, at that time he was still the Rav in Mir, the Aderes. He ended up leaving Mir, and he moved to Panovich. He ended up becoming a Rav in Panovich. And later on, he actually moved to Eretz Yisrael. Reb Shmuel Salant wanted to have an assistant chief rabbi. So he asked the Aderes to come. But the Aderes ended up dying. He was old already. So he died in 1906. So he only served for a very small amount of time. But as was mentioned, Aderes' claim to fame was he was the father-in-law of Rav Kook, which got him into shtickle trouble when he died. The way the story goes is that when he died, he had a lot of svarim, and they didn't know what to do with his svarim. So his son, who wasn't religious, took all his svarim and brought it to Panovich. Panovich wouldn't touch it. They thought it was all treif, because he was connected to Rav Kook. So he just sat in the Panovich library for months and months and months and months. So someone from one of the Americas of Rav Yeshiva said, you know, guys, told the high school boys, said, you know, there's some good svarim from the Aderes and the other yeshiva. If you break in to Panovich, you could take the svarim, it'll be very good. So they broke in, and they took the svarim. And Reb Shach found out he was Rashi Panovich, and he said, "It's Gnev, you have to give it back." So they did it. Before they gave it back, they made a photocopy of every single thing, and then they gave it back. They just made photocopies first. And they print Svarim from the Aderes today. That's why we have some Svarim from him. He wrote a lot, but it was never printed because it was sitting on the floor of Panovich for all those years. But the Aderes was a Chosh of a Rav. So he writes to the Marsham, Ashtikul Torah, to get the Tzlach out of Rashi. And the Marsham disagrees adamantly with it, but he has a Shtikl Torah. Says this is the number 11. The Marsham has a comment where he's responding to the letter written to him by the Aderes, who at that time was still Rav in Mir. And he writes like this. He says, Rashi says to cut the lulav off the ground. Slach says you could take a lot on the tree. So what's going on over here? So Zakta number 11, Masham writes, Masharich within Talminim and Mechubim Yoitzim Behem Vevi, David Prima Godim, so if Sim Tovish and Gimel, so if Stapik, but Otis Moli Offer, you have Bachlakicha, okay? The Gam Hevi Mat Slach Lashabis. The Slach writes, because of Pshit is the Blue of Loy, Meshkachas and Chil Shabbos, Gufa Mitzvah. The Gam Hoy Mechubim ain't Terkel Tolshoi. The Gam Benoit Lobiyode, Boyd Mechubi Yotzim. That was the Slach we learned. So he's referring to the person who wrote him the letter. Teima shenela mehem divi rashi shom. Ubesukam mehem gimel shakas the machshiv hanu lekaitzim na chuber. V'nitchak liyashiv de b'shabes koa shoifer. Said that there's a pretty mistaken rashi. That rashi is not supposed to be going on nulav. It's supposed to be going on shoifer. The shoifer was attached to something, and you have to detach the shoifer in order to blow the shoifer. Lulav avada, that's not what rashi meant.
From the animal.
That was the Adaris' chap. The Adaris' chap to how Rashi is not shver is because Rashi, where we have it, it's going on lulav. So like the Adaris, it was a misprint. It was really supposed to be going on shayf. Now, if you look over number 12, the Ritva is mefurish, not like the Adaris. He writes lulav v'chol machshirav ki going tzitza min adekel. So the Ritva definitely is not like the tzlach. But Rashi and Sukkah is very different than our Rashi. Right? Our Rashi and Sukkah, the Aruch Lener is a problem with Rashi and Sukkah. What was Rashi saying in Sukkah? Ula oigdoi. Which means the violation of Shabbos would be the binding of it all. Avada, you don't have to detach it. Again, you don't have to detach it for the sake of detaching it. But you need to be able to bind it all together. That agad, that binding, would be the violation of Shabbos.
If your dekel tree is... If you're talking about going to the tree and tying the
branch
that's attached, so you would need the other three minim. You have to carry those other three minim out to the tree in order to be able to have through this carrying.
You haven't seen that before Shabbos. I don't know. But the Aruch Lener times Tzrich and Agar is a machlokes tanoim. If Tzrich and Agar ain't Tzrich and Agar.
On Shabbos.
No, if you make a real Agar, you might be a violation of making a kosher. If you do a real Agar. So the Aruch Lener doesn't like this pshat either. So it's hard to know. I think that we'll leave it off as a Shver Rashi. It seems to be a Shver Rashi with the Tzlach. Okay, let's see one more shtickle. So the Gemara goes weiter. The Gemara says, the Elamute Sukkah. Maybe Sukkah. Fatanya, it's not true. Sukkah v'chol machshirah derechas Shabbos. They have a sukkah. You can do whatever you need to build a sukkah. Build it however you need to. V'el mutei matzah. What about matzah? Fatanya. Matzah v'chol machshirah derechas Shabbos. They have a liyazer. Okay. El mutei shofar. Fatanya shofar v'chol machshirah derechas Shabbos. They have a liyazer. So we're stuck with it. There's no mitzvah that we can come across that saka machshirah is not derechas Shabbos. So here's the Gemara drops the chiddush. Amr v'adav barabam. The mutei tzitzis l'tali soy u'mezuzah l'pischoy. It's excluding putting on tzitzis onto your beged or a mezuzah to your house. Tanya Namihochi, we learned a brayse like that. V'shavin, everyone agrees, Shem Tzayitz, Talisoy, V'asa mezuzah, L'pischei. The person decides to put up a mezuzah for the first time on Shabbos, or he puts the tzitzis into the bag on Shabbos, Shuchayv, it's Chayv HaChatos. My time. Oh, okay, we'll leave off the my timer for a second. So what's the Maskanas HaGemara? The Maskanas HaGemara is the only two places where we don't say the rule of Machshiri Mitzvah Deche Shabbos, that's only by tzitzis and by mezuzah. So there's a famous piece over here, number 14, from the Panovich Rav, Bitzel Panovich, also a Rabinovich, Bitzel Rabinovich. Before we see the piece, you have to know a little bit about Bitzel Panovich. Bitzel Panovich was a massive Baal Mechadish, unbelievable Baal Mechadish, and his Chiddushim was so massive, not everyone accepted him. Reb Chaim Grada wanted Bitzel Panovich for that job that the Aderis took. Reb Chaim thought that there's enough Poiskim in Yerushalayim in the 1800s. They needed Lamdon in Yerushalayim. So Rabitzel, he held very strongly. Elder Rabitzel Panovich was a massively Eloy, a massive Lamdin. He knows how to give the best Lamdin Shashir. They say in the name of Rabbi Salavitchik, Rabbi Shabbat Salavitchik said that he thought that Rabitzel Panovich and Reb Chaim were both responsible for the changing of the way we learn today. Both of those two people changed the whole Lamdish style of learning to what we know today as that style. It was both of them to them. Reb Chaim Salavitchik, and they're very close. Reb Chaim Salavitchik and Rabitzel Panovich. So Rabitzel Panovich, not everyone agreed with all of his massive chidushim. The Alta from Zabotka used to tell Baruch not to learn by him because he thought it would take away the Yir Shemayim. Because he was such a Baal Mechadish, he was so out of the box thinker, so he was afraid it would get them, you know, too much out of the box. They say, this is a classic story with Reb Chaim Moiser. Reb Itzel Panovich, they was contemporaries of Reb Chaim Moiser. Reb Chaim Moiser once went to someone's house, to a rich guy's house, to collect money for the Vara Yeshivas. And he collected money from the guy, a wealthy Baal Bas, and the Baal Bas said, look at my Gavis letter on the wall. I got a Gavis letter from the Panovicher, from the Itzel Panovicher, and it says in the bottom, you're Jewish even though you never had a Mila. So Reb Chaim Eisen looks at the letter and says, thank you for the donation. You know you're not Jewish. Because no one possibly...
But he didn't give back the money.
It doesn't say he give back the money.
Oh, okay.
So Reb Chaim Eisen told him, you know you're not Jewish. He said, what do you mean? I have a skama from the Mitzvah. He said, well, it's not true. Mitzvah had a cheshbin. The same with the Gemara says, if you can't bring karbonis when you become a ger, it's okay. So Bitzel held, if you can't do the meal, it's also okay. That's not true. So Chaim Moshe thought this guy was a glorified guy. But he has a letter hanging on his wall from Rebbe Zalpanovich. Rebbe Zalpanovich said that he was Jewish. Rebbe Zalpanovich had another chiddush. He held that an oinin is allowed to deliver hespedim. Because the Isser Simcha on Chol HaMoed. Because on Chol HaMoed, it's a mitzvah of Simcha. And oinin doesn't keep mitzvahs. So an oinin is allowed to deliver hespedim on Chol HaMoed. But the only cash is that's great for the oinin. What about the rest of the people listening? They can't listen.
Yeah.
That was another chiddush from. Another chiddush from the Rebbe Zalpanovich. So Rebbe Zalpanovich was we'll call it an out-of-the-box thinker, to say it in a respectful way. The Chazinish learned by Rebbe Zalpanovich in the beginning, and then he left because he thought Rebbe Zalpanovich said something connected to Mishnah and Shkolim. And he left the Mishnah and Shkolim open on a shtender, and he left and never came back. The Chazinish said, if he's such a big Baal Mechadish, I can't, I'm afraid I'll lose something, and he left. So Rebbe Zalpanovich has massive chiddushim. With that intro, let's see what Rebbe Zalpanovich wrote over here, number 14. He writes like this, Venira. The Afler Belozer, the Doichi Kala Mitzvahs, says Rebbe Zalpanovich, even if you hold that Mila, or all mitzvahs are Doichi Shabbos, Nira, Hainu Lathish Mechoyib Mitzvahs, and it's only because you have the Chiyav. Avil Acher Ein Mechal Shabbos Bishviloi. So, Rebbe Zalpanovich, you are not allowed to be Mechal Shabbos for someone else is Mitzvah on Shabbos. How does he know it? V'zeh Shomri, he's Medayik from our Gemara. It says in our Gemara, V'shavin Ba'oisit Zitis Lebigdoi, you're putting the tzitzis in your baguette, and you're putting the mezuzah in your door. Frank Rebitzel, what do you mean your door? You're putting mezuzah up. Who cares where? That's not putting it up in your house. It's a mitzvah for you. Says Rebitzel, the lepesach acher vade chayiv. Tolihutu Shabbos v'shal mitzvah acher. There's no heter to do for someone else. It's only yours. That's the chiddush of Rebitzel
Ponovich.
Yeah. Rebitzel has this gevaldik chiddush that he thinks that in Reb Loza's world, that mitzvah is adoichem, ashivi mitzvah. It's only if the mitzvah itself is your mitzvah. So what's the obvious kasha of Rebitzel? Mila. What happened to our Mishnah? Our whole Mishnah. Rebbe Elazar says, Carson ate some lasses. You let it go down, chop down trees. I'm not even invited to the bris. I'm just a wood chopper. Right, so he has one line over here. He writes, the im came begodosh in uyochol lomba ba'atzmoi loy dochi, the davka bekoto in dochi da mitzvah hu al hakol.
Wow.
So to Bitzel, Mila is unique, because Mila is somehow a communal responsibility. We all have a mitzvah to make sure this kid gets gemalt. So therefore, Mila is all our mitzvahs. So if it's all our mitzvahs, we can all be involved. Mashenkin, a mitzvah which is no shaykh. I don't have a mitzvah to make sure you have a house, mitzvahs on your house, it sits on your bank, not my problem. Therefore, says, Bitzel is dear. He says, right, so Arvis, I guess, is a secondary type of level. That's why this is a chiddush for Bitzel Ponovich. So Pash says it should be a mitzvah on the father, and the Gemara says the father doesn't do it, so then the son does it, and then it goes down to Bezdin, then it goes down to Bezdin. So some people say Bezdin means everyone. That's why I made my little hakdoma to Rebitzel's Torah. I don't understand. It's a tzarechim by me, but Rebitzel Ponovich was a great gadol, but I guess it's a mitzvah to understand what he's saying, but it's a nice diak in the Gemara. I hear his diak. His diak is mezuzoi bepischoi, it's just bebigdoi, what's the emphasis on his? It's a mitzvah. So Dr. Rebitzel, it's takanachu. It's only mitzvahs that are yours, and not mitzvahs that are not yours. Next week we'll talk about